Joining us on the phone is a gentleman we worked hard to find, Mr. Tom Thatcher. Are you there, sir?
Good morning, Dave and Eddie.
Hey, good morning, Tom.
Good morning. You're like the ghost consultant or something. We couldn't figure out where you were.
Well, sorry about that, but we have been working away feverishly for the past 2 years on a project that's been really important to me for many, many years, and that's, guys, I believe, like many people in general aviation, that our most precious resource in aviation is our airports.
I agree.
Absolutely.
And public use airports. Something has happened in the United States over the past 40 years. And let me just throw a couple numbers at you here. In 1969, America had about 6,700 public use airports. Today, that number is about 5,000. So we've lost in the past 40 years, pretty much steadily, about 1,700 public use airports, most of them privately owned, many of them publicly owned. Under the auspices of the National Academy of Sciences, the Airport Cooperative Research Program decided to look into this in detail. We had a two-year national study that looked in tremendous detail why this was happening, and we've come up with some interesting new results.
One thing that you had in your report that really surprised me is that one major factor in airport closures is the refusal, or I should say the non-use of public monies at the airport, or federal money.
Yes, yes. And there's a classic example of this. right here in my home state in New Jersey. Bader Field in Atlantic City, which is the first place in the world that was called an airport, it closed 3 years ago. And what happened is that Bader Field, very busy airport serving Atlantic City, had two scheduled commuter airline carriers, was serving the gaming community out there. Very, very busy general aviation airport. About 23 years ago, the city fathers decided that we're going to stop taking federal funds. And the ramification of that was this. Federal funds, generally speaking, require you to keep your airport open for about a 20-year period from the last receipt of funds. The good fathers of Atlantic City government decided to run the clock out. And over a period of 20 years, and I watched this happen with my own eyes, we watched Bader Field go from a busy airport with two scheduled airlines to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle to the point where it didn't have an FBO, it didn't have fuel available, it just wasn't relevant anymore, and it closed without much of the world even taking notice.
Right, not even a whimper.
Not even a whimper.
Wow.
And it dwindled over time. You know, Dave, Eddie, a lot of people have the vision in their mind that general aviation airports close because of this. You have an active, good general aviation airport. You've got new neighbors that move in. They create a fuss. Community gets in an uproar. Airport has to close. Has that happened?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes, it has. But that's really not the primary reason why airports close. There's actually, we documented, amazingly, 16 reasons why airports close. And all of them tend to act over time. With what we've found in our research here, and by the way, this research is available to the public in full detail for free for download on the Internet. We found that there are public funding reasons. We found that there are economic and business reasons. There are community and environmental reasons. And there's also infrastructure reasons. And one thing that we would say to every general aviation airport that wants to keep busy, we'd say, stay engaged with your community. Be the best neighbor that you can possibly be. Invest in your facilities and run a good business. If you do those things, I bet that airport's going to be there forever.
Could very well be. Tom, is your organization and personally involved with some of the airports that are in trouble over in New Jersey?
Well, I'm a member of the New Jersey Aviation Association, which has been involved in protecting airports in New Jersey for many, many years. I'm also a member of MAC, the Mid-Atlantic Aviation Coalition, which is an airport advocacy organization, primarily in New Jersey. And, you know, we've been involved for many years in advocating good local airports and keeping them open. But one of the things that we found in our research here that we really need to draw a distinction from, an airport rescue is a lot different from airport preservation. An airport rescue, let's say you have an airport that has a crisis situation, may close very, very soon.
Meigs Field.
And we try and intervene and do the right thing to keep this airport open.
Well, there's a lot of airports that could use that help.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I know of one.
Absolutely.
I know of one airport in particular in New Jersey. I'm friends with one of the people that owns the airport, and they've been in trouble for a number of years because of the misuse and abuse of eminent domain. And I was wondering if there was anything that is being done about that.
Well, that, as I understand the situation, I believe I know which airport you're referring to, and I believe that is actually in the courts.
Yes, it is.
Right now.
Been there for a long time, too.
Yeah, and once again, the airport I think we're talking about is privately owned.
Yep.
And, Dave, Eddie, it's privately owned airports that are at the greatest risk. Let me just, I have some interesting numbers here about that. Okay. in 1970, America had 2,847 privately owned public use airports. That number now is less than 1,000.
Wow.
It's a huge drop.
That's almost two-thirds.
Yeah.
That's almost two-thirds. And the ones that are remaining are struggling. There are some states that don't have any privately owned public use airports at all.
That's amazing.
It really is. Now, there's a small piece of good news here, and that's that the number of publicly owned public use airports is climbing slightly. And the reason for that is that for every, let's say, half dozen privately owned public use airports that close, one or so may get rescued and purchased by the local governing body or preserved in some way under public ownership.
That has happened. I have read several cases about that online and also in AOPA magazine. Them and the EAA are heavily involved with saving airports for obvious reasons.
Absolutely. And let me say that, you know, EAA and AOPA, if we did not have these organizations in our corner fighting to preserve airports, we would have to invent them.
Definitely.
Because, in fact, it's AOPA and EAA and also the state organization NASAO that were sponsors of the research here for preservation of public use airports, and also served as guidance counselors, if you will, all through the research on a study oversight panel.
Well,
EAA and AOPA are fundamental to this effort.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the thing is, you just wonder some days what people are thinking when they rise up and they want to close, say, a privately owned airport, especially seeing as how lately there have been many housing developments that have popped up around these airports. And these airports have been here, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and all of a sudden the public outcry is, well, we can't have this airport anymore. We can't have these noisy airplanes. How do you fight that?
Well, I want to say, let's not use the word fight. Because when we fight our neighbors and we fight our communities, too often we lose. Even though the airport was there first, the burden is on us as members of the general aviation community, and the burden's on airports to be the best neighbor they possibly can be, even in the face of extremely unreasonable neighbors. I think that every airport needs to be involved and perceived as being sensitive and concerned about reasonable and legitimate neighbor concerns. I think every airport needs to keep local public officials aware and involved. I would urge every airport owner to be involved with local service organizations like Lions, the Rotary Club, Kiwanis. Talk to the people in the neighborhood. And when someone calls up with a complaint, be as courteous as you can, be responsive, and invite those people down. Because remember, some people who complain about airplanes might be your next customer.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
So, you know, I would urge anyone who has a persistently difficult neighbor to invite them over and take them up for a flight.
That sounds like a great idea. Tom, where can these airport owners find out more information about your organization and your report?
Well, it is absolutely easy to get a copy of this report. Google on the following. The letters ACRP, in one word, ACRP, Report 44. That's ACRP Report 44. Google on that. And the top three or four items will all be on this report. It's called The Guidebook for the Preservation of Public Use Airports. It was funded by a research grant from the FAA to the National Academy of Sciences. Has gone into great detail in, and we found things that nobody would have expected to find.
Well, that's great. I hope everybody goes and gets a copy of that.
Absolutely. Save your airport.
Yep.
And it's completely free.
Very good. Okay. Well, thank you for joining us, Tom. And we have to go. So we'll be talking to you later on this week about another subject of yours, which I haven't had the chance to read the background paper yet, but I promise I will.
Okay, you bet.
Thanks, Tom.
We love our airports. Take care, guys.
You got it.
You too.